His ways. How wonderful is His glory, fame, ever the same, great is the name of the Lord. How marvelous are the works of the Lord, how excellent are His ways.
Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Directly following this service, we will enjoy our fellowship luncheon, and of course everyone is invited for good food and fellowship. Please note in your bulletin that the last activity this afternoon is the worship service at Pacific Hills Manor at 2 o'clock this afternoon. All other activities are canceled, and that is our custom on the last Sunday of the month. Please refer your bulletin for activities scheduled for this coming week and next Sunday. There will be a congregational meeting next Sunday, May 6th, and we encourage you to attend this important meeting to review the quarterly financial report and also an update on church property negotiations. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 22, verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise him. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 32, Blessed Be the Name.
Oh, the kingdom come through.
Continue our worship with hymn number 348, The Beautiful Garden of Prayer. Now, as we sing hymn number 346, Teach Me to Pray.
Thank you.
standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence in the name of Jesus, our High Priest. And first and most, we are grateful that You command us to gather together on the first day of the week to bless Your name, to praise You for the great salvation that You have bestowed upon us, the enlightenment of Thy Word, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Lord, we are rich because we really in Thee know Thee. And now, Father, we come as a church body to bring the Word to Your people, that they may grow and be closer to You because of Thy Word. And so also as a church body, we are grateful that we have the written Word to go by, to enrich our soul, to encourage our life. And Father, as a body of believers also, we have people who are suffering, and we pray for Your presence and their life with great comfort. We pray for Loretta Forrest, for Marta Peretti in Argentina, for Ann Peretto, for Mary and Jerry West, for Donald McDowell here. And we are praising Your name because Mary Kasanjan is with us again after being sick. Thank You, Father, for Your comfort, Your presence, and Your strength in their life. And so also as a church body, we are commanded to go and to share the good news with others everywhere around the world. And we are praising Your name because of the internet and the many, many people who are listening. And we pray for their life. We pray that this be not just a moment of entertainment, but a moment, a serious moment in their life as they listen to the praises of God from the choir, to the holy reading of Thy Word from our brother Klika, and then from the exposition of Thy Word, that they too may grow in the knowledge of the Almighty. And we pray also for those who are listening over KKNC radio all the way back from King City all the way to San Jose. And Father, we pray that they too be comforted and that their presence be enriched because of this service. And then, Father, we pray for our missionaries, Fred and Carol Lewis, who are here in America, Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benal Madena, Spain, David and Denise Rose in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Marta Peretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina, Dante and Maruja Rabines in Iquitos, Peru, and the Amazon River, Jose and Diane Avila in Costa Rica and Central America. And then, Father, locally we have the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the storms of life here in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Midian Lacey as they minister to car racers. Thank You, Father, that You allow us to expand so much with missionaries that they can go and show others the beauty of God. And then, Father, properly, I thank You for the offering this church every Sunday brings in, because they love You and because they want the ministry to continue. They bring this offering to You. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may receive it.
Bless you guys. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, back on page 1273, chapter 2 and verse 14. And the Word of God says in chapter 2, verse 14, on page 1273, "For He, Jesus Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition," or division, "between us." There was a time in our life when we were separated from God. And because of Jesus Christ, that separation is no longer. If Christ is living inside of you, there is no separation between you and God anymore. Christ has done that for us. But Christ has also done something between one another. between every member of the church, we are all part of the same body. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, which is in page 1331. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. And the Bible says, "We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God." So God has separated us from the world and joined us together. And now we have unity with one another. And this is something that every single church needs to have, is love for one another. And there's an incredible reason for this. Number one, we are God's children. God is love. God dwells in us. What are His children going to have for one another? Love. Incredible love for one another. Now let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, page 1310. 1310, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." So when we're at this luncheon, when we're all fellowshipping with one another, I want there to be no separation between the body of Christ. I want every single person here to feel free to talk to whoever. I want every single person here to feel free to shake a hand. Every single person here feel free to ask a question about the Bible, to share a verse with someone, to encourage another person, to say, "Hey, you know what? I got a prayer request." I don't want no separation. You know, the way that we get to know each other is by the love of God. That's the way that I really get to know other people and get to know that they are born of God, is when I see the love. When I don't see the love, I question whether there is God living in that person. So if you have God living in you, don't take your candle and put it under a desk. Let it shine. And let all of us, let's all love one another. Let's all be free in love. Because if we're going to go out and evangelize, if we're going to go out into the world and they're not seeing the love and they're not seeing the positivity, they're not going to want what we got. They're not going to want,
"I am a Christian."
They're not going to want that at all. No way. So I'm telling you guys, let's be free to love. Amen? All right. Good to him.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you, choir, for that great medley of hymns. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of John. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 1173. We will be reading John chapter 17, verses 1 through 26. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 1 through 26, the entire chapter. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given thee, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father and our gracious God, we thank you for these words of Jesus' prayer that we are privileged to hear. We thank you that you have revealed to us that great love and unity within the Godhead, and mercy of mercies have included in your family all of us who believe the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the knowledge that we have been set apart and secure because of the merits of the Lord Jesus, by the truth that you gave him to communicate to us, now contained in the Scriptures. We thank you for that unity of common eternal life we share in belief of the truth. We pray for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him with all wisdom as he comes to bring these precious truths from the Scriptures. If there are any listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD who do not know you, we pray that you would give them ears to hear the truth so that they will follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother Plika. And if you have a Bible with you, you can open your Bible to Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, page 1230, if you have a Bible that is on the pew. Romans chapter 8, verse 34, page 1230. As you do so, let me introduce our sermon this morning. This month of April has been designed for the topic, it is all about Jesus. And we talked on the first Sunday, Jesus' victorious entrance in Jerusalem. He said, save us, say the people, we pray, Hosanna. Then, second Sunday, we talk about the victorious resurrection over the dead. There is no one religion in the world that have their leader and their savior being raised from the dead. And so, Romans tell us that Jesus became then the Son, capital S, the Son of God, by the resurrection of the dead. As you know, in the original language, there are many words for one word. And for the word son, there are three words. When you're a baby, when you are 12, and when you are mature, over 12. And so this is the word they use for Jesus in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Then we talk about Jesus' victorious kingdom. We are His ambassadors. God has established a nation inside the nations of the world, and as you, you are a nation. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Then we talk about Jesus' victorious teaching. And the goal of His teaching is that you, as a believer, and I, can be exhibit number one, as we say in court, exhibit number one in the presence of God. Remember verse 16 in Matthew 5, that you may do good works so that people see your good works and my good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Now we come to this remarkable chapter 17 of John, but before we look over there, let me look with you to John chapter 8 and verse 34. Something that I asked myself long time ago, before I studied John 17. In Romans 8:34, the Apostle Paul now is teaching about the two conjunctions between Israel as a nation and the Israel of God spiritually. And then he makes these points of difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Look at in verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Christ, the Messiah, who died. Yet rather, that he is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God. And now look at here. Never heard before in the history of the world. Because the Messiah is supposed to come. Remember Israel? Once a year, the high priest has to go to the Holy of Holies and intercede for the people. And here's a new thing. Look at here in verse 34 at the end. Who, talking about Jesus, also maketh intercessions for us. He took the place of the high priest. Now, I wonder, many years ago, what did Jesus pray for us? He's praying, He's making intercession for us. Know that He will be, He's continually making intercession for us, day and night. What did He pray? Well, if you have your Bible now, move your Bible to John chapter 17, page 1173, if you use the Bible that is in the pew, because I want you to fix your eyes on the Scripture. All right? And I'm going to share as many requests as time allows me in the radio so that I can assure you the greatness of his prayer. The first request is in verse 5. To be restored to his eternal glory. I read it for you. John 17 and verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. With the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now here is Jesus on earth. He went to pray. People, you know, at the cross what they did to him. And what people did to him when he lived. But now it's time for business. And he says in his prayer, Father, the time has come. I can see it. I'm going to be on the cross. I'm going to die for the people who believe in me. And therefore, restore my eternal glory. Now, let's have a glimpse of that. You're in John 17. Go to John 1:1. Remember that he said, as I was. If it's a place in the Bible where Jesus tells us more times than ever that he was in heaven, is in the Gospel of John. If you go with me to John Gospel, chapter 1, it's a long chapter, and verse 1, here you have a remarkable text who imply what he says. And I explain to you a little detail on these texts. The Bible says, here's how John Gospel starts. In beginning, there is no word "thou," because there is no beginning with God, all right? He's God. At no beginning, no end. So in the original, is no word "the beginning." Because it was "the beginning," then God has the beginning. But in the original, there is not. The translators have added that. In beginning was the Word. You see the Word in King James Bible? The word "Word" is in capital letters. There are two ways God can write word. He can write, I pronounce it for you. He can write logos, or he can write rema. Rema is a natural Spanish word, Latin word, for a newspaper. I was young, very young, 5 years old, 6 years old. My daddy said, go and get the rema from the door. That means the newspaper. It's a bunch of letters all together informing you of something you call in Spanish rema. And that's the word adopted for God in many places. But here he used the word logos, which implies the written word and the living word at the same time. And I explain it to you in a minute. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now that's the glory that Jesus praying at this particular prayer in John 17. God, he said in John 17, he said, I want that you restore me the glory which I had with thee. That means, I want to shine, act, and move like God and know in submission to you with these people. If he acts as God, nobody can touch him and do anything. It is a marvelous thing. He said, I want to be just like I was. And I was God, and I am God. Now, there are some people called Jehovah Witness who use these texts in John 1:1 to say that he never said God because they are two different gods. And some of them learn just a tiny little bit of reading in the original language. And they see the word God. You see the word God in John 1:1? And then you see the word God at the end. And they said they are two different gods because they are spelled in different way. Well, when you learn language, you learn to speak. And later on, when you are 6, 7 years old, we go to school. And what you learn? Grammar. Is that right? And then you learn all of these things, why words are written in this way and the other. And the original language that this was written, and the Koine Greek, when you write a noun, you can write a noun in 7 different ways. Depend where the noun is placed in the sentence. Remember sentence? I teach you a little grammar. Sentence. There is the line. Remember the teacher where they said sentence is a line. Alright? And there is a barrier between the line. And on the left is the subject, on the right is the predicate. Remember that? And I won't tell you all the details of the predicate, but the subject is the one doing the action. I am running. I'm doing the action. Now, when you use the word on the subject, you use the word Deus. Deus, David, E-O-S. When you use the word in the predicate, you use the word Theon. Deus, David, E-O-N. Because for a Greek person, when you see it, he knows that at this moment, that person is not doing the action, is receiving the action. And so it's very easy, the language, when you have 7 different ways to write a noun, it's very easy to put it in the sentence. In English, it's crazy because you never know what that word, where that word goes. And those people who said they know nothing, and they try to lie to people because they cannot erase John 1:1, is that right? And the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Now, you don't believe that? Move your Bible to Philippians 2:6, page 1279. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. And look what the Bible says. Paul is writing about Jesus. And this is what he says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it no robbery to be equal with God. There was no something that Jesus took upon himself and he was not, he said. Jesus was God. And the accomplishment is that God answered his prayer. Look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 3, page 1303. 1303. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. These prayer have an answer. Hebrews 1:3. Who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, means after the crucifixion and after the resurrection, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So Jesus prayed. The first petition was about himself. Restored. See, he's in proper relationship with the Father. He could jump on and be God because he's God. But he didn't. He was doing a work for his Father on this earth. He was doing the perfect image of God, as Brother Thomason has spent a month for you to tell you, the perfect images of God here on earth. And now he said, I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to be just sit down and take my place as the God of the universe. And he did. Romans 1:3 said that he sit down at the right hand of the Father. And what did he do? He prayed. So he prayed this prayer in honor to be restored to his eternal glory. Now also, this is the section that I really love it, he prayed for the believer's protection. If you are a believer in Christ, that he died for your sin, that he rose again, and he paid for your sin, and you have believed in him by the mercy of God, then this is for you. This is for you. The believer's protection. There are three things he prayed for the believer's protection. He prayed you to be protected from this wall system. Look at in verse 11, please. John Gospel, go back to John Gospel, chapter 17, verse 11. And now, Jesus said, I am no more in the world. Isn't it amazing that he can transport himself? You can see God in him. He can speak and transport himself like in heaven. He said, I am no more in the world. But these are in the world. These are the believers, the apostles. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And so he said, I am not in the world, but these are in the world. And so he's praying for us because we are in the world system, in the cosmos. And God, you hear the word cosmos, that's a Greek word, which is not the world as a physical world, but is the world as lives and thinks and moves. Keep them from the television. Keep them from the newspaper news. Keep them from the politician. Keep them, oh Lord, keep the believers that they may have a sound mind. That's what he's saying. It's not keep them from the rain or from the snow. That was not his no brain. He could if he used another word, but he chose the word of cosmos. There are three words for the word world. Cosmos means the system in which we live. And at that time was not like it today. The Bible tells us that each day that passed by is worse. And here's what it is. He prayed for us. So he prayed for you. There is no excuse for us to be involved and entangled in the world affairs because Jesus is praying for you. Amazing. Daily, he prayed for the world. Now also, he prayed for you to be protected from Satan. Look at verse 15. What did he pray? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from correct translation will be the evil one. It's an individual. So Lord, protect them from the evil one. Protect them from Satan. Please move your Bible with me to 1 Peter. Right to the right of your Bible. Just go to the right. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter. And verse 8. Sorry, I don't have the base number, but it's chapter 5 and verse 8. Alright? And look at what Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's not talking about the unbelievers, he's talking about the believers. He already had the unbeliever in his hand. And so Jesus has to pray for us. And he prayed that we be protected from Satan. Now, if you fall in the hands of Satan, it's not Jesus' fault, it's yours. It's not Jesus' fault. You cannot say the devil made me do it. No, sir, you can't. You can't. You can't. That's an excuse. It's unacceptable to God. Because the Holy Jesus is praying for you and me not to get involved with the things of Satan. And you know how Satan is. He He is an angel of light. He doesn't come to you and say, oh, deny God. Oh, do this. No, he just smoothly move you just 1 inch here and 1 inch over there and 1 inch over there. You never know this. You have to be very careful. You young people, you maybe get a good-looking, good friend who is an unbeliever. But he's so kind and so gentle. That's sent by Satan to you. And I don't say that and putting the other person down. I'm saying that what the truth is. And then if you just take a little bite and one day take a lunch with him and one day you go to see a movie with him and one day this, very soon Satan is moving you out and moving you out. And it's moving you out, and you never know this. You never know this. The people around you will know this, but you never know this. And you argue with your parents. And that was me when I was young. Mama, I want to do this. I want to do this. And I thank God for the hands of my mother. And she shake my head so many times. And my face, I scratch. You cannot do that. I say many times, you know, Satan is the one who said, don't go to Sunday school. My mother grabbed me from the back and spanked me with a thing, and today will be illegal. But she doesn't care. In the street, in the middle of the street, around the other boys. I grew up in a very strict family. My father said, at 10 o'clock you come back. But in the church there were good looking girls. I cannot come back at 10 o'clock. I stay playing ping pong. My father came to the church, spanked me in front of everybody. I was 18. And I was a professional soccer player. My father spanked me and brought me home. He said, what I said, I said. Thank God. He did it with my brother, and I had to help my brother steal. And he's 65. Thank God for that. See, God, don't get excuses why we sin. All right? He prayed for Satan. And then, verse 17. Look at it in John chapter 17 and verse 17. He prayed that you don't get into error. Into error. John 17, 17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? Said Pilate. The answer is, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Well, he used here the word logos. Not the written word, but the living and written word. And what Jesus was saying is this. Truth is a revealed word of God. Go to with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Sorry, I don't have the page number. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. This is the revealed word of truth. Ephesians is just to your right, a few books on the right. Ephesians chapter 1, you get out of Acts and out of Corinthians. And now with Galatians, then you get Ephesians. Okay, chapter 1 and verse 13. It is the revealed word. In whom ye also trust, after that ye hear the word of truth. See, you hear the word of truth, and now you understand it. That's called the revealed word. You hear the preaching of the word, and now you understand it. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believe, ye were sealed by the Holy Spirit of the promise. In other words, that's called the revealed truth. The Word of God is preached. The Word of God is exposed. That's what we pass Bibles. I'm a fanatic about this. From the child I got saved, from the time of 18 years old, I bought Bibles to everybody because this is the revealed Word of God. And when the revealed Word of God gets to you, you have, there's an irresistible moment in your life that you believe. But any story, oh, you can deny it. An argument, you have the same right as the other person. But when the Word of God is shared, that's the power of God. And this is what it is. The revealed Word of God. Alright? That's the revealed Word of God. But it's also truth, the person of Jesus. Go to the Gospel of John again. In John now 14, rather than 17. You know this by memory. John 14. In verse 6, all right? Look at what the Bible says. Jesus said unto him, unto Thomas, say, I am the way, and I am what? The truth. And so therefore, Jesus prayed for the protection of the believer. He prayed to be free from the American television. He prayed to be free from Satan himself, the enticement of the angel of light, who will come to you, young people, and trying to break your life in misery, he cannot take your salvation, because salvation was given by God, not by Satan. But he can make the rest of your life misery, a misery in your life. And I want to say this with all love and protection, that you don't move from the Word of God. And then he wants to keep you from error. A lot of people will say, well, this is this way, this is the other. You know, in television, not too long ago, there's one guy say he found something over there, and the name was Jesus. I have news for him. There were thousands of people by the name Jesus at that time. It's a common name. And in Spanish, it's a common name. Jesus is a common name for people. That doesn't mean when that person died, he's Jesus. Where are you going to get the information? I wrote so many letters to the television. And you get the information from this book. I wrote to Larry King, can you have 10 minutes with me? I want to share the people. This is the book. You don't get information from God in any other newspaper, in any other documentation. We got a document. It's called the Bible. And so Jesus prayed. Young people, if you do not read the Bible, you are not protected. You are not protected. Take the habit. How time you get up? 5, 6, get up at 4. Just sit down and read it. Read Joshua. You like passion and war? Read Joshua. You want to be admonished humbly and tenderly? Read Proverbs. You want to cry? Read Psalms. And I tell you, you've got everything. I don't know why people go to movies. I don't watch movies. Hey, right here is everything. I mean, it's fantastic. The drama. You want to see a woman who was submissive to the husband? Read Esther. Read Esther. If you're scared to death, ladies, how pure was that woman before God? The Bible only called her a Jewess. A Jewess, like we would call them, oh, that lady is a believer. When you talk about believer, that's an identity. There's no just a name. All right? Jesus prayed to restore to his eternal glory. He prayed for the believer's protection. He prayed for the believer's separation. If you go to John 17 and verse, John 17, 17, again, the beginning of that verse, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Separate. Lord, I pray that these people be separated. Separated. Separate. As you read through thy truth, as you read the scripture, you become separated. Wait, what are you talking about? Separated. Well, I give you one example. 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse 3, page 128. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 3, see what page was. I said 1288. All right. He prayed for you to be separated. Look at the scripture. Paul says, for this is the will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, no argument now. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification. And he gives you one spot of your sanctification. That ye should abstain from fornication. Now they are two acts of sex in the Bible described. Adultery, the act of intimate relationship of a man and a woman when they are married to somebody else. And then when you are single, you do fornication, called the Bible. All right? And so he said, you abstain from fornication. You separate yourself. Everybody does it, but not you. You're a believer. Isn't it fantastic? As a believer, you don't do that. You just calm down. All right? Now you say, oh boy, you need a lot of strength. Yeah, you need a lot of strength in this crazy America. But I tell you something, if you're a believer, Jesus praying for you, and you have the Holy Spirit, what excuse do you have? What excuse do I have? You see it? All right, Jesus prayed for believer separation. Believer separation. Just, you're going to feel the income tax, you already did, just tell it like it is. When I go to the income tax, my accountant said, well, let's see what you got. Very simple. I got so much money and I spent so much money. You tell me what is right and what is wrong. Whatever he said, I follow. He said, sign here in case they call me back. You're guilty. But it's not the law says I'm guilty because I'm signing. But you know, I want to be sure. In other words, you're telling the truth. Like it is. You don't go with the, oh, but there is these things you can go over there. He told me, you know, you can deduct your shoes. Boy, that's a temptation. You know why? Because I like shoes. I have many pairs of shoes. One shelf of my closet is full of shoes. Because I love, my mother was a shoemaker. So one of our shoes, oh, I studied this shoe, have to be done this way, sewn this way, you know. There's no point to buy shoes. It's just, to me, it's just something. But I tell you, they got one. The guy said, oh, so I can buy more shoes if I do those shoes. I said, no, don't make me laugh, I said. Don't make me laugh. He want to mark the place I walk here, and now there's a deduction for doing this. Oh, come on. Come on. Don't play around with God. No loopholes with God. Sanctification is no loopholes with God. Whatever God said, I do it, and I'm happy forever. Boy, what a prayer. He prayed for the believer's unity. Look at in verse 21, John 17 and verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. There is one way to do it, and you maybe have questions. You have a right to ask me to go to your home, have a chocolate cake, have a cup of coffee, and I explain you the scripture if I can. If Pastor Thomas was talking, you go and call him. He doesn't drink coffee, so I drink it for him, and you just go and talk to him. But you see what I mean? We are not infallible here. Because I'm speaking to you, I'm not infallible. You have the right to go home like the Berean people did and look in the scripture and come back to me and say, Pastor, with all kindness and meekness, I said, Pastor, I'd like to meet with you about a verse that you have explained or something. And I will meet with you. I know I'm right, so what's the problem? All right? You know what I mean? That people have that kind of attitude. The one who is right is God. And we could be in error. So there has to be a unity. And the unity is in Christ Jesus. We are one in Christ Jesus. And that will keep the unity. All right? Now, he prayed for the unbeliever's salvation. Have you prayed for unbeliever's salvation? We pray here on Wednesday night for the unbeliever's salvation. Look at verse 21 again. At the very end of verse 21, he said that they all may be one as thou, Father, are in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. He prayed for the unbeliever's salvation, that the world may be there. There are three things important. Acts 1:8 said, you shall be my witness. You need to be a living witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:19 said that, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right? And then, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, to pastors said, do the work of an evangelist. So, Jesus has provided for the salvation of unbelievers. We have to do the work. Number one, we have to be his witness, Acts 1:8. Then number two, as a church body, we have to have missionaries. The whole world is involved. And so we do. And then as a pastor, I have to mention over and over and over again to you that if we have any value in our life, it's that one day God in grace give us right to believe that Jesus Christ died for me. That's it. I cannot close the service without telling you that the value of this service is not in the choir who sing beautiful today, thank you, Darlene, not in the reading of my good priest, Plika, but as I tell you, it is in the value that Jesus Christ has come and died for my sins, that one day I will go to heaven and I do not have to appear in court. I'll be with Christ. For the unbeliever's salvation. So don't be afraid to share with unbelievers. I watched my brother Chris on Wednesday night when we go to Starbucks. And he do not leave a Starbucks without having a Bible. And he challenged me. So this time I brought a Bible in my car. I got you. And he said, there is a man here who needs a Bible. Said, and I don't have it. Oh, yeah? I have it. So I went to my car. You do? Yeah. I went to my car. Otherwise he grabbed me and put me there. So we give the Bible. The man said, my Bible is broken. So here's the Bible. And we share with three people. You know, it's just amazing. It's just a little thing that we go over there and we flash all the girls and all together. I feel young again. And we all in talk again, you know, and laugh. I pay. But it's just beautiful. to watch young people. Well, I was trained in that way. You go to a plaza in South America, you pass your Bibles. I was trained in that way in my country. You don't walk around without passing Bibles and tracts. You have a passion for souls, don't we? And we have to get them. He prayed for the unbelievers. And then he prayed for a believer's new location. Some of you maybe plan to move. Some of you, like me, I'm remodeling the house. But Jesus said, oh, get ahead of me. And he's praying for the unbelievers, new believers, new location. Look in verse 24. Father, I will that then also thou, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, here is what that verse in plain English says. Father, I want those you have given me. See, when you are a believer, it's because God has given to Christ. He said, be with me where I am, so they can see my glory that thou give me, because you love me before the foundation of the world. That is the place that you're going to be. No in purgatory, no in any place else, no under, no this. You're going to be in the presence of God because of this prayer. You don't have to improve anything after that. Either you are a believer or you are not a believer. Either you go to the presence of God or to the presence of Satan in hell. One of the two. Sounds crude, but it's the truth. You want to hear the truth. And so here is the beauty. Jesus said, I pray for the believer's new location. What a peace of mind comes to all of us. We can die in a car accident. We can die of a heart attack. Anything could happen to us. But the believer is peaceful because we already have a new location. A new location. And you know that something? As I help people when they have their bereavement problems and somebody died in the family, these crooks in the business and in the industry of burial, they raise the price all the time more. You know? And when this one is priceless. It's free of charge. Actually, Jesus paid for you. This place in heaven, you don't have to secure now. You don't have to sign any papers. You don't have to do anything. If God has led you through Christ Jesus to His presence, then you are there. Isn't that fantastic? Free of charge. So now comes the conclusion. It's very important, the conclusion. Very important to me. I want you to read it. It's in Hebrews chapter 4. Three verses in Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 14, page 1305. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now we have a high priest. This prayer proves to you that we have a high priest. Now, what are we supposed to do then? Look at here. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us, the word boldly is not the original, the word is a compound word. It says, let us know fear in approaching the throne of God. Let us know fear in approaching the throne of God. How you do that? Two ways. You do that individually. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Don't look at the radio is holding on me. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That's individually. Pray without ceasing. Any place, anywhere, you have connection. It's like now you go to a city who has a website, and you just sit down, open your computer, and you are in the internet. I tell people, I have this every place I go. Really? Yeah. In Argentina, any place. Really? Oh, how modern. Oh, it's a long time ago. Long time ago, yeah, about 40 years ago. Really? Oh, yeah, wherever I go, I have connection with the internet. Really? Yeah, I have connection with God. I can pray. And my website is always open. All right? In modern terms. Individual, do you pray? You are in a cross. You are in an exam. And if you were like me, I study hard, but then at the moment of the exam, until the exam starts, I was nervous. There are children like that. I was shaky like that. Like me, I'm just talking to him, I'm nervous before preaching. But once I start, you just relax. Then you're like that. So you pray. Pray. God, it's me. Social security number, you tell God so that you don't have no problem. Pray. Alright? Individually. Now, should we pray collectively as a church? Yes. Now I want you to look at Acts chapter 12, verse 12. You're in John? Alright. Acts. Next book, chapter 12 and verse 12. Would the people at the beginning pray together? Acts chapter 12 and verse 12. And when he had considered the things, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many gathered together. What class? Praying. That's what we have prayed meeting. Now I'm going to offer. I'm so serious about this and so blessed by having Brother Thompson with me that he provides the internet and so on. And I want to give you a counsel. It's a burden in my heart. Our church on Wednesday should be packed double of what it is today. But if you cannot come because you have little babies and you are far away and a lot of people come from far away, please get the internet. We are live broadcasting on Wednesday night. And at 7:30 you can turn on. And we have praises. And then we have studies on the Psalms. And then we have a listing of what we pray. And we can send that listing to your home. We have people in Baltimore, people in El Cajon, people in New Jersey. Everywhere praying together. And things are happening in our church because people are praying together. That's important. But if you live around here, I tell you, I hope this prayer will challenge you to come to prayer. If you live within San Martin, Gilroy, Salinas, Carmel, San Francisco, please come. Lord, thank you. Thank you. What a place. What a place in the scripture. The prayer of our Messiah. The prayer of our high priest. Lord, why people repeat prayers without sense? This is a prayer to be repeated. And then Jesus said, do not have vain repetition. But now I know that Jesus prayed for me. I know that Jesus prayed for those who believe not. I know that Jesus prayed for my weakness in the world. Oh God, thank you. Thank you today that we have the prayers of a high priest who understand us and who love us. Oh God, help us to feel a million-dollar believer. In Jesus, I pray. Amen.
For your love.
Thank you so much. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? I just want to tell you there are two activities. One is the fellowship luncheon. You are able, if you are able to stay, please stay. Even if you have not brought food, please stay. Always there is plenty of food. At least I saw plenty of chocolate cake on the table. And then the deacons after the fellowship will meet with the committee by the mercy of God. I think we have secured the new property for our church, and we are just finding the details and the approval to come to the church next Sunday. God willing, don't miss next Sunday business meeting. It's another second biggest step in our church to approve the new location, which is just a few blocks from here. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Hello, how are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well.